want to begin a message this morning. I'll not be able to finish it for as much material that I want to cover with you and the things I want to say, but I want to begin that this morning. I hope that you've got perhaps something you can write with. Maybe you can take some notes down and some things that I want to share with you. I'm sure many of you have been watching as the news in the last few days and listening to the things happening not only in our country, but the countries of the world concerning the economy. A lot of folk are upset. Some folk are troubled. Some folk that have, as my sister and I were talking, she asked me, said, "You see the fellow the other day when they showed the stock market, when it hit rock bottom, that he put his face in his hands and he was crying?" And I mean, beloved, a lot of folk that have put their faith and trust and hope in this world's money, now, my friend, is failing them. And one of the verses she reminded me of, and the Bible said in the end time that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. And I believe, my friend, that we are indeed seeing a lot of things happening in our world condition that is paving the way for the Lord to return again. There's so many things, and I just want to take one of those things this morning and bring you a message, and the title of the message is The Mark of the Beast and the Final Tattoo. The Mark of the Beast and the Final Tattoo. You have your Bibles in the book of Revelation and chapter number 13. Again, we'll begin the message today. I'll bring in some of the facts and things that are happening across our nation and across our world. But my friend, I believe that if you study your Bible and if you read the Bible prophecy, you can pick your Bible up and almost see the day's newspaper headlines in the Word of God. Now, let me say in the beginning that some folk may say this morning, "Well, preacher, you're being an alarmist, or you're trying to be a sensational type of a preacher, just trying to get folk to be scared." No, sir, that's not my goal. That's not my desire. But I believe, as the Bible has told me, that he set us as a watchman. And my friend, my job as a preacher is to warn the people. And I believe that, my friend, as God gives us insight and God gives us knowledge, as we can share that with the people of God. And my friend, if you are not saved, then by all means, you better get ready. We're heading out, children. I believe it's only just a short matter of time. And if you are saved, then you ought to be living right for God every day, because he may return. And I surely don't want to stand before him with a red face. Amen. I want to be able to stand before him and say, "Lord, I've done all that you've commanded. I've tried to serve you." And I hope that's your prayer and your desire of your heart this morning. But if you've got your Bibles, Revelation chapter number 13, would you stand, please? We'll begin reading in verse number 11. Verse number 11. I'll go back and pick up a few things there out of chapter 13. But as far as the passage I want you to see, here's what the Word of God says. And keep in mind, my friend, if you're not familiar with the book of Revelation, there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of types. And so I'll try my best to try to explain that to you. And as we began reading, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and calls the earth and them that would dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Now, verse number 12, for just a little bit of time's sake, look back in verse 3 of the same chapter. Here the Bible said, and I'll read that to you, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now let me just go on record and say this here in verse number 3. It is my firm belief that here in verse 3 of chapter 13, he is describing the assassination of Antichrist. I believe that man will come on the scene. He'll be promoted to power, and then one day he'll be assassinated. And I believe at that day that the world will see him rise back to life according to the Word of God. And I believe there in verse number 12, Here we've got that second beast that's mentioned, and I'll tell you who that is. But just quickly in passing, this is the false prophet. And I'll tell you a little bit about that this morning. You'll have the Antichrist. You'll have, my friend, the false prophet here that's mentioned. And so he says there in verse number 13, "And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them by dwelling on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, that which by the wound by his sword and did live." Now he had power to give unto the image of the beast, to the image that beast should speak, and cause that many that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes, here's what I want you to get to, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might be able to buy nor sell, save he hath the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that understanding count that the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and its number is 666. May God add his blessings to his word. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for the promises of the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus said, "If I go away, I will come again." Lord, as we try to bring this message, we pray for power, we pray for unction, we pray for the Holy Spirit of God. Open our hearts, our minds. Help us not to say anything that doesn't need to be said. Lord, help us this morning that we would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that who went to Calvary, died for our sins, and is coming back in glorious workings. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson and how Brother James read this morning, unknowing what the message would be. Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Now, Lord, we need your help. Bless us as we study and look in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated, beloved, keeping your Bible open. And I hope you've got something you can write some things down with. Now, my friend, at this very moment, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, there are forces in motion that are paving the way for a one-world government under one political leader. I'll be as bold, I guess, and go on record and say this. And we've got the meeting over the weekend with the G7. I believe, my friend, that we're seeing so many things happening at such a fast pace here. But I'm not saying that meeting has to do with Antichrist. I'm saying that there is a global movement to bring everything together. There is a movement for a one-world government, one political ruler, and a one-world church under one religious leader. I say that not as a prophet of doom, but because, beloved, the events are predicted here in Revelation chapter 13, and they reveal Satan, Superman, the coming world dictator. Now, my friend, I'm sure that you've been listening to the news. I drove to the post office this week to put my tapes in the mail, and as I pulled up there at a little post office in Glen Raven, I got out and I started toward to the post office, and there in the magazine, in the newspaper rack, was a copy of the News and Record from Greensboro. I went in and I said, "Dan, I need some change. I want to buy a paper." I saw the headlines, and here's what the headline said, and I shared that with the church on Wednesday night. Financial problems grow on an international scale. World markets tumble. And it goes on to say in the article, across the world, we think we have trouble in America. It goes on to say that in Mexico, Brazil, Britain, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Japan, China, all the countries, the world markets are beginning to tumble. The economy, my friend, is in bad shape. But let me go on record and say this. I'm glad that the Bible said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and is a river of water. So he turneth it. There's nothing that's taking God by surprise. Amen. I believe, beloved, that we can see some of the moving and the things that are happening as they relate to Scripture. Now, let me say this as we get into the study this morning, and I will be able to touch the tip of the iceberg here today. There is coming, my friend, a world leader. You know that. The Bible describes him as Antichrist. He'll pull the world together. He'll bring people together under one religion, under one government, and under one monetary system. It has been said before, and I bear repeating this, that I believe this world leader, he'll be elevated into power by a world crisis. I believe they'll look to him and they'll say to this man, I believe he'll come from the European common market nations. I believe the forces are in existence now that they could promote a man like that into power. It's interesting as you look and read some of the things that are going on. I ran off some of this, and I want to give you just a few quotes from what the leaders of the world money system are saying. Paul Volcker, who was the former chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, said this, a global economy requires a global currency. He said, I fully support a single global currency. Another fellow, that Jack Weatherford, he wrote the book, The History of Money. The great struggle of history has been for the control over money. A.W. Clawson, president of the Bank of America, said, the control of money and credit strikes at the very heart of national sovereignty. In 2001, according to Sarah Perry, director of Visa Strategic Investment Program, in 2001, she said this, when Visa was founded 25 years ago, the founder saw the world as needing a single global currency for exchange. Everything we've done from a global perspective has been trying to put one piece in place after another to fulfill that global vision. Again, a fellow by the name of Robert Mundell, he is credited as being the father of the euro dollar. Listen to what he said, even as early as a year ago in May of 2007. Mr. Mundell was given a lecture, and this is what he said. International monetary reform usual comes possible only in response to a felt need and the threat of a global crisis. The Nobel Prize winner went on to say, he pointed his finger to the possible trigger event, saying that the global crisis would have to involve the dollar, and that a world currency should be viewed as a contingency to a global dollar disaster. He said that a year ago. You know what he's saying? Let me put it in layman's terms for you. He said this. He said that a world crisis, that the way in which we would have a world currency is for it to have a problem, a crisis with the dollar. And beloved, I think anybody with a brain in their head can see we're at that stage. Again, Mundell went on to say this. A global single currency could not be achieved without a global government. You see what the world leaders are saying. In order to have a global currency, you've got to have a global government. He said to enforce a single currency would involve big problems of organization. And beloved, as we read on, this week, I saw a clip on Friday morning from CBS as Harry Smith was interviewing several people. I ran off some of that, and it says there, global credit still in the deep freeze. This news correspondent by the name of Sheila McVeer said this, in spite of bank bailouts and injections of capital amounting to billions of dollars by central banks around the world, this lady reports there is still no confidence in the market and no confidence between banks. They went on to say this, and Harry Smith interviewed a fellow from Forbes magazine, and he said this, the banks are headed for trouble. He said, at this point, there's nothing that has been done. In other words, they're sliding down the scale, and nothing has stopped that fast sliding down the scale. They're meeting over the weekend. I haven't heard the news for today, but President Bush and the G7 leaders of the world, G7, the Global 7, they're meeting to talk about what they can do to keep this train from running down the track. Now, beloved, I want to tell you something. I believe that here we're headed quickly into that realm of a global currency, a global market. Now, I got news for you. Thank God. I believe the Bible says and teaches that before that time comes, before the mark of the beast, hallelujah, I'll be out of here. Amen. Oh, you believe that? Say amen. Oh, the Lord is coming back, and thank God he's taking his children home long before that time will take place. But I believe we're seeing the foundations laid. We're seeing it. And friend, listen, if we can see that now, how much closer is his coming. Now go back to Revelation chapter 13. I want to tie this together with you and show you some things here. Talking about the mark of the beast and the last tattoo. Notice in chapter 13 verse 11. The second half of the chapter tells us about the coming of the one who's going to unite the world under one religion. He's called in the text here the beast out of the earth. Now for the sake of time, let me just tell you this morning, we identify him as the false prophet. Because, beloved, he is referred to in Revelation chapter 16 and also chapter 19 and chapter 20 and verse 10. If you've got a little pen and paper, I want to give you my outline this morning, and then we'll come back and fill it in. There are 4 points that I want you to get down. And I'll give these to you. Hopefully, they'll be a blessing to you. First of all, is the emergence of the beast. The emergence. How does he come on the world scene? In chapter 13, verse 11, you have that. The emergence of the beast. Second of all, is the power of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. The power of the beast. The Bible said he has great power. You realize this morning that the devil is can work miracles. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Don't you be fooled that all miracles today or all things that happening is of God. The devil is a great counterfeiter, and he can mimic and the things of God. Here you find the power of the beast. Number three, the miracles of the beast. We find in Revelation 13, verses 13 and 14, the miracles of the beast. He's able to call fire down from heaven. The Bible says here he is a great imitator, this false prophet that the Bible describes. And then fourth of all, the mark of the beast. I'm sure many of you are curious about the mark of the beast. And that's found in Revelation 13, verse 16. Revelation 13, 16, the mark of the beast. Can I tell you something real quickly? I'll sit this week, and the two ladies that were working with me, they're both Christians. And I was sitting there, and I said, let me show you something. Just we were talking about the coming of the Lord, and I pulled up on the internet. You realize today we already have the technology. It's already in effect. If you want to sometime go on the internet and look at that, you can type in Verichip, RFID, Radio Frequency Identification Devices. It's as small as a piece of rice, and they're inserted under the skin. They're already happening. It's already here. They're using them. They advocate this on their website to track Alzheimer's patients in case they wander out. They know exactly where they are through the global positioning satellite system. In Mexico, they're already using them put in babies in case one is abducted. And it goes on to tell about the benefits of this RFID device called VeriChip. Very interesting, but that technology is already here and being used. And so we talk about the mark of the beast. What will that mark be? How will the Antichrist use that mark? And the Bible said here that no man will be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. Can I tell you something? I've read this and I've heard it, and it's not original of me. But in order for the world monetary system to be replaced, you've got to do away with the current system. And then a new system be put in its place. I believe we're seeing that, beloved. A system here of credit, as the Bible talks about the mark of the beast. I believe, as we see today, that doing away of a cashless system, a cashless economy. You say, preacher, is that something really that's on the horizon? It's closer than what you would ever think of. Let me read you a couple of the quotes just to kind of get your appetite going here. The American Bar Association in 2006 said this. They printed this in their magazine. Quote, crime would be virtually eliminated if cash and plastic became obsolete, because cash is the only real motive for 90% of the robberies. In Europe, now listen to this, Boy, if you don't hear nothing else this morning, everybody perk up, listen to this. In Europe, the World Banking Association has formulated an international monetary transfer system called SWIFT, S-W-I-F-T. It stands for the Society for the Worldwide Interbank Financial Teller Communications. The purpose of that is to allow international businesses to have transaction without the need for cash or currency. That's been the problem, they say, in a lot of the world markets. Converting from the dollar to the euro to the other currencies, the franc or whatever else. They want to have one common currency so that when it goes from one country to another, it's all on the same level playing field. Now listen to this. I want to give you this fellow's name. Henrik Spaak, S-P-A-A-K. He is one of the organizational leaders of this SWIFT, the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Teller Communication. This is what he said. Listen to this. We do not want another committee. We've had too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature who can hold the allegiance of the people and to lift us out of the economic morass which is we are all sinking. Send us such a man. And if he be God or the devil, we will receive him. Now, beloved, I didn't make that up. That's what they're saying. We need somebody that can help us. Unite us together. Pull all those down. Beloved, there's coming a day that you won't have to worry about losing your credit card. You won't need one if you're still around here. Thank God, I'll be with the Lord. Amen? And if you're not ready to meet him, you better check up, son. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling you, son, we better pack your bags. We better start looking up because he's coming. Amen? Revelation chapter 13. Let me go back there for a second, tell you a little bit about that. Time's just about gone. Even hadn't got into the message this morning. But let me give you some things. Notice in chapter number 13, verse 11, who is this? The Bible describes him here as the false prophet. There will be an unholy trinity, just like we have a holy trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the tribulation, there will be an unholy trinity, be made up of the Antichrist. Get these down if you want to remember them. Antichrist, he is described as being the dragon. The second one of the unholy trinity is the beast. He is the political and economic ruler. And he is, as the Bible describes him here, he'll be the point man for the Antichrist. He'll be the minister of propaganda. He is this one that will go about, in effect, the press secretary for the beast out of the sea. Look in chapter 13, verse 1. I've got so much to say and a little time to say it. Burton, verse 1. This, my beloved, is the Antichrist. He said there, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. Always when the Bible refers to the sand of the sea, the sea is a symbol of humanity. Always boisterous, rolling. It's never stable. And he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Here it is, Antichrist. He's describing this man as he comes onto the scene. Out of the sea of humanity, a man that will be promoted into power, as we've already heard that these people are saying, we need somebody that can change this economic mess we're in. I believe he'll come from the European common market nations. I believe that they will promote him unto power. And I believe, as the Bible said here, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Here he is, Antichrist. This is how the Bible describes him. He's already there in the tribulation period. But John says, here I saw him coming up out of the sea of humanity. And what happens to him? He goes on to talk about in verse 2, and the beast he saw was like a leopard, and the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and a dragon gave his power. That is the same description, if you want to write it down, Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 6. Daniel was looking this way. John was looking this way, but they saw the same beast here. Now, I don't have a lot of time, but let me say this. The different animals typify and symbolize the nations of old Roman Empire. As you read and study, you'll find the Babylon and Medo-Persia and all those old empires. That's what he's talking about, the different beast here. But let me see in verse 3. Here's what I want to get to. In verse 3, I believe as that Antichrist comes on the scene, he rises to power, one of those days somebody will assassinate him. I believe that the world TV stations will see that and broadcast it via satellite into your home, and people will see, here he is, that world leader, assassinated, lying in the street, blood running out of his head. I believe the Bible said one of his heads were wounded unto death. But then a miracle takes place, because there he gets up. And I believe that this is what the false prophet will step in, and the false prophet will say, listen here, there's only been one person that's ever risen from the dead. That was Jesus. This is Jesus. He's come back. He's in the flesh, and the world will fall down and worship him. You see, the false prophet here, he'll be the PR man. He'll be for the devil's Messiah. Let me give you that unholy trinity where I started. The Antichrist, the dragon, the beast, political and economic ruler. And then third of all, the false prophet is a religious ruler. There'll be a one-world religious system in that time. Now, let's go on. There are four reasons why he'll be able to accomplish everything that no one else in history has been able to accomplish. And I gave you that. Let me talk about, first of all, the emergence of the beast. Look in verse 11 again. Verse 11. How does he step on the scene here? This, my friend, is that false prophet. I heard another beast coming out of the earth. You see the difference? That first beast in chapter 13, verse 1, came out of the sea. Antichrist. Second beast here, he comes out of the earth. Beloved, here we introduce that beast as he comes out of the earth. The word another means another of the same kind. These two beasts are like two peas in the pod. Here they are. They're both belched out of the belly of hell itself. Both are the devil's puppets. Like the first beast, this beast is also given a strange description. He is described in verse 11 as both a lamb and as a dragon. Look in verse 11. And he said that first beast, he exercised power of the first beast. And he said in verse 11, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship that first beast. See, the false prophet, he, my friend, will be responsible for people to fall down and worship Antichrist. You see, my friend, I believe this, that when he is assassinated there in chapter 13, verse 11, I believe it is at that point, and up until that point, here he is indeed the devil's spokesman. But at that point, I believe that the devil himself will incarnate him, just as Jesus was God in the flesh, and Antichrist will be Satan in the flesh. And the false prophet will say, see, he is God, and he'll cause the world to fall down and worship him. Notice something about him. He talks about a lamb and a dragon. The lamb is to represent his meekness. He's a very soft-spoken individual. He is a smooth-talking operator. But sugar will not melt in his mouth, my friend. He'll be gentle, gracious, and appealing to the masses. He'll have the silver tongue of an orator. He'll be able to speak, and the people will want to hear exactly what he's saying. And everything he says, the people say, yeah, this is right, this is true. We like what we hear. But we're told that he has horns. A lamb doesn't have any horns. He has horns. Here in Scripture, horns represent power and authority. So as a lamb, he is shown by his meekness. By his horns, we see his might. We also see that he speaks like a dragon. That means he's violent in his actions. Even though he's soft-spoken, when he executes something, it's by drastic means. Because the Bible says here, those that would not worship the Antichrist, what does he do to them? He has them killed in the name of religion. You say, preacher, how could that be? How could people slaughter people in the name of religion? It's happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. In the name of religion, the apostles were put to death. In the name of religion, early church martyrs were put to death. And beloved, across the country, in other parts of the world, people in the name of religion will kill others because of that. Here, as a bully, he'll insist that all worship his master, the devil. And as a beast, he will kill any that refuse. He is literally a wolf in sheep's clothing. So the beast, he will be meek as a lamb, as mighty as a lion, and malicious as a dragon. Number two, look at the power of the beast. Verse 12, read this with me. And the Bible said, He exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Just as the first beast derives its might and power from the devil, so the second beast derives his might and power from the first beast. Keep in mind when we're talking about the beast, the first beast is Antichrist. The second beast here is the false prophet. Now, he'll use his deceptive might and power to deceive the earth into worshiping the beast. Oh, yes, sir. You see, the people of the world during the tribulation time, they will believe that literally this is God. They've said God has come down to his people. It may come as no surprise to you to learn that Satan is not against religion. In fact, religion is one thing that Satan knows a lot about. He wants to divert religion, until the only religion involves around worshiping him. You see, my friend, when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, and he spoke of the abomination of desolation, sometime you may read that. When the disciples walked out that day, and as he walked by the temple, Jesus looked over and said, there's coming a day that the temple is going to be destroyed. He kept walking, the Olivet Discourse, and the disciples looked at him and said, Master, three questions. When is this going to happen? What is the sign of that coming? And third of all, and the end of the world. Jesus went on to describe the tribulation period in Matthew chapter 24. And he says there in Matthew 24, he said there is coming a time, and he speaks of what's called the abomination of desolation. That will be, beloved, when the devil himself will set himself up in the temple of God, and the people of the world will fall down and worship him. He'll sit in the temple of God, and he will say, yes, I am the Messiah. I am he that you've been looking for. And the nations of the world will believe a lie. You see, it's always been the goal of the devil for people to worship him. He's always wanted to take God off his throne. In Isaiah, he said, I'll go up to the heights of heaven. I'll take God off of his throne. And God said, no, you won't, Lucifer. You'll be brought down to the sides of the pit. It's always been the devil's goal is to have people to fall down and worship him. Daniel 11:36 says of the Antichrist, he is to exalt and magnify himself above every god. It has always been the primary desire of the devil to have people worship him. Satan has always wanted to be like God, to take God's place, to assert God's authority, to accept God's worship, to wear God's crown, to rule God's kingdom, to sit on God's throne. The job of the false prophet is to lead the entire world to worship the devil. And friend, let me tell you something. The moment that takes place, the moment that person bows down and worships the devil, they'll say, yeah, he is the Messiah. He is the one I'm looking for. They have sealed their eternal doom and destiny. The false prophet is the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit today is to glorify Christ. The Bible said he would not speak of himself, but he would speak of him that died on Calvary. And friend, listen to this preacher this morning. If you don't know Jesus this morning, the Holy Spirit is tugging your heart and he is convicting your soul. Don't say no to him. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. There'll come a day that the Holy Spirit will leave you alone if you resist the wooing of God. For the Holy Spirit, I'll glorify him that came. I'll speak of Jesus, not of himself. And here the false prophet will do the same thing. He will seek to glorify the Antichrist. His job, my friend, is to do the opposite of what the Holy Spirit has done. And so we have here, there is an Antichrist. There is an anti-spirit. Satan is the master of a counterfeiter. There is a Holy Trinity, there is an unholy Trinity. This unholy Trinity is found, look in chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible describes that unholy Trinity. And here he says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon in chapter 16 and verse number 13. Here it is, just as there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The dragon or Satan is the counterfeit of the Father. The beast is the counterfeit of Christ. The false prophet is the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. The dragon opposes God the Father. The beast opposes God the Son. And the false prophet opposes God the Holy Spirit. And you see, my friend, that this one world government, this one world religion will be headed by the false prophet. Now, it may surprise you to know that there are many people today that are promoting this concept of a one world government, a one world economy, a one world ruler, both political and religious. Look in chapter 15, or chapter 13, verse 15. Chapter 13, 15. And he said, he had power to give life unto the image of his beast. And the image of the beast should speak and cause that should, many as would worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, friend, John is writing. It's about 90 A.D. And John uses the vocabulary that he is accustomed to. And John describes this the best of his ability. And I believe here, as John is describing, he said there is an image of the beast. And he causes this inanimate object to speak just like the beast would speak. Here, beloved, one man said, in talking about the importance of religion and so forth, he said this, that, you know, that everybody ought to have religion. One fellow said, yeah, he said, after all, religions have some good in them. All religion, he said, has some good in it. A very wise person responded to him. He said, yeah, so does rat poison. 98% of it's cornmeal, but 2% is enough that'll kill you. In the same way it is with religion. You might be a very religious person. You might treat your neighbor right. You might come to church. You might have even put some money in the offering plate. And you might be sitting here this morning and the devil has told you you're a good person. You don't need to listen to what that old preacher has to say. Wow, one of these days when God looks at you, your good's going to outweigh your bad, and he's going to say, you can come on into heaven. You've been a good person. My friend, may I remind you this morning, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. It's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me share something with you, and then in closing this morning, here we find that this beast, it said that he had power to give life unto the image, that he would speak. That brings me to that third point. We don't have time, but the miracles of that. John said here that he saw this image of the beast and he began to speak. I believe John was trying to describe to his best of his ability what that object was like. For a long time, we thought, how in the world could something inanimate speak? And yet today, my friend, we're living in such an age that we can talk to a computer and the computer can talk back to us. You can go outside and get in your automobile perhaps and your car will say, door is open, headlights are on, your oil is low. Are you drunk or are you stupid? You know, it'll talk to you. Yeah, my friend, we have got computers that can actually talk and respond to you today. I know of a young man that was paralyzed in an accident. He has a computer that he can talk to and it'll actually write down whatever he says. You see, we have that capabilities today, don't we? And when John said that in verse number 15, I believe perhaps, just perhaps, he was describing some of the modern technologies that you and I have become so accustomed to today. We think nothing about it. We don't think twice about it. I saw on the TV, I don't have one of these. But I saw on the TV where they were some car commercial and the guy's in the car and all of a sudden he mashes a button, lets go of the steering wheel, and the car backs itself up over in parallel parks, and it's all done without his hands at all. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. But is it so? You see, beloved, here I believe that we're heading down to the final stretch. I believe we're heading down to that last, and I want to bring you the second part of that message next Sunday. Please don't miss next Sunday. We're going to talk about the miracles and the mark of the beast. I hope you're ready to meet the Lord.